सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। समस्तजनकल्याणे निरतं करुणामयम् नमामि चिन्मयं देवं सद्गुरुं ब्रह्मविद्वरम् सद्गुरुं ब्रह्मविद्वरम्। ॐ पार्थाय प्रतिबोधितां भगवता नारायणेन स्वयं व्यासेन ग्रथितां पुराणमुनिना मध्ये महाभारतम् अद्वैतामृतवर्षिणी भगवतीं अष्टादशाध्यायिनी अम्ब त्वामनुसन्दधामि भगवद्गीते भवद्वेषिणी। यं ब्रह्मा वरुणेन्द्ररुद्रमरुतः स्तुन्वन्ति दिव्यैः स्तवैः वेदैः साङ्गपदक्रमोपनिषदैः गायन्ति यं सामगाः ध्यानावस्थिततद्गतेन मनसा पश्यन्ति यं योगिनः यस्यान्तं न विदुत्सुरासुरगणाः देवाय तस्मै नमः देवाय तस्मै नमः। ॐ श्रीगणेशाय नमः ॐ श्रीसरस्वत्यै नमः ॐ श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः। हरि ओम्। So in the fifth chapter last week, in chapter 5, number 16, 17, and 18, in number 16, we talked about the knowledge that a person who has ignorance, when his ignorance is removed by knowledge, then the self reveals itself. Consciousness, which is covered by ego, covered by ignorance, reveals itself just as the sun, it is covered by clouds. When the clouds are removed, the sun reveals itself. The clouds do not reveal the sun. And then we also in 17 talked about the man of wisdom whose mind is always centered in Bhagavan, in that Brahman consciousness, that Bhagavan, and that is his goal, and that is his faith, which he abides in that. And such a person never comes back to this world of birth and death. Also, it means that even while living, once the person gets this knowledge, then he no longer comes back to his world of the ego. He goes beyond ego, beyond ignorance. And all his sins get destroyed by knowledge. And then in the 18th verse, we saw Vidya Vinaya Sampanna, a man of wisdom, sees God everywhere, sees God in a Brahmin, in a wise person who has humility and knowledge, in a cow, in an elephant, in a dog, and even a dog eater. He sees the equipment different, but his eye is constantly on the self. That is how a man of wisdom functions. So in today, we'll number 19, we'll see what is the result of this knowledge. What is the result of this knowledge? So chapter 5, number 19. Ihaiva tejita sargaha. Ye sham sam ye sthitam manaha. Nirdosham hi samam brahma. Tasmat brahmani te sthitaha. Ihaiva tejita sargaha. Ye sham sam ye sthitam manaha. Nirdosham hi samam brahma. Tasmat brahmani te sthitaha. So they, these people who have got this highest knowledge and their ignorance has been removed and they abide in the self, Bhagwan is continuing from last week. Iha aiva. Iha means here, aiva means here itself. Here itself, these wise people, by them, taihi jita sargaha. They overcome or conquer rebirth. Also, sarga means creation. So they go beyond all this worldly creation. They are not born again. Who? Yesham samye sthitam manaha. Whose mind, manaha, is always sthitam, established in sameness. Samye means sameness, equanimity. Why? Because Brahman, the Lord, Supreme Consciousness, is nirdosha, has no defects, no dosha, and is always the same. Brahman does not fluctuate up and down. It is constant. We'll talk about that. And tasmat brahmani te sthitaha. And these wise people, their mind is always established in Brahman, in the Lord, who is in and outside everywhere. So iha eva. So people always think that enlightenment will happen in some future birth or after death, maybe I'll go to heaven and there. No, the Bhagavan Sri Krishna says here itself, enlightenment is to be obtained here and now in this life on this earth. To think that in some future life or in some future loka, somewhere I will see God or experience God is ignorance. So whatever time I have left in this life, let me devote that to this highest knowledge and remembering the Lord. So maybe take a mala, and if I have nothing else to do, sit down and do japa. Om Namah Shivaya. Om Shri Krishna Sharanam Mama. Constantly remembering the Lord and bringing the Lord in my life and remembering this knowledge, what Bhagwan, Bhagavad Gita has given us. Because I am so blessed. We have this human body. We have the ability to think. We have Bhagavad Gita, this knowledge. We have Puja Gurudev Swami Chinmayananda who has revealed this knowledge to us. What more do I need? I don't need anything else. Everything I have in this life. So let me utilize this opportunity to go beyond birth and death. And as we said, birth and death, one is that this person who is enlightened is not born again. Second is that in this life itself, he gets this knowledge and then no longer goes towards ignorance. And who is Brahman? Who is this Lord? So he says it is the support of the universe. Just as a river bed, the stone bed at the base of the river sustains the river, and the water may flow for thousands of years, but that riverbed is constant, supports it. Same way, Brahman is that substratum consciousness on which this whole world is flowing like a river. People are being born and dying, and you know, trees are coming, animals, birds, plants. everything, kingdoms came, empires came, Roman Empire and Greek Empire and all these Chinese, they came and went, but Brahman is the same. And Brahman is not separate from me. People always think God or Brahman is somebody somewhere, that Brahman or this Brahman. Brahman is me. Brahman is, because Brahman is everywhere, God is everywhere, then God is in me too also. And Shankaracharya ji beautifully says in Nirvan Shatkam, Manobuddha Ahankara Chittani Naha, Nacha Shrotra Jihve, Nacha Ghran Netre, Nacha Vyoma Bhumir Na Tejo Na Vayuhu, Chidananda Rupaha, Shivoham Shivoham. I am not the body. I am not the mind. I am not the senses. I am not even the five elements. The body is made of five elements. Who am I? Chidananda Rupaha, Shivoham Shivoham. I am that Shiva, the auspicious Chit Ananda, existence, consciousness, bliss, all I am. So that is the message. That is how one should always live. And I, the Atma, the consciousness, what is called Om in this BMI chart, is eternal, never perishes. My body will perish, and that constantly is changing. My body, I was young, and then I became youth, and then I became middle age. Now I'm getting old. Body is changing, my mind is changing, my thoughts, my ideas, my concepts, my emotions. And this whole world is changing, but there is one imperishable entity, and that Brahman I am. But people misunderstand that Vedantins say, I am God. No, we don't say, I am God. See, there is a difference. God, in the traditional sense, is the creator, sustainer, and destroyer of this universe. Now, God is eternal. God is constant, is all powerful. In compared to God, I am limited. My body is limited, my mind is limited, but the essence within me is eternal, is never changing, never perishes. And once I see this consciousness within me, then I see consciousness everywhere. Then I see the same Bhagwan in everybody, not only in humans, but in birds, plants, even grass. Ramakrishna Paramhans one time was standing on the street and he saw a man walking on the grass, you know, the fresh, beautiful green grass. And he started feeling a pain in his chest. He said, why is this person walking on grass? Because he could identify that somebody is walking on grass is walking on me. Because life is in the grass too. There is a Muniji who comes here every year or every other year to Bakersfield, and he told us one time, he said, when you are walking, try to avoid walking on grass because grass is alive too. Take a little round about, go on the cement and try to avoid walking on grass as much as possible. And if you have no choice, if you have to walk on it, then apologize. Mentally apologize to the grass. I'm sorry, I'm walking on you. So the idea being that oneness, that unity is there in everyone, and that oneness only one can experience when we see God in us, God in everyone. Then it says, okay, how about if somebody gets angry with me? How do I deal with that? And how do I see oneness? And he uses some bad language, and I get very badly hurt. What should I do? So our response is either to get back with him. Usne do sunai, main usko char sunaunga. He said two things, I will say four. Or if I cannot get angry with him, I cut him off from my life. I have nothing to do with this person. I'm done with him. So we have two responses. But the Mahatma say there is the third method. If somebody gets angry with you, instead of shouting at that person, just quietly walk away and go for a walk. And chant the mantra in your mind, Om Namah Shivaya, Shri Krishna Sharanam. Just keep chanting the mantra and keep walking. And you will walk, walk, walk. 5 minutes later, you will say, ah, two more things I remembered to tell him. Let me go back. No, keep walking, keep walking. You walk 20 minutes, 30 minutes, and as you are chanting the mantra, your mind becomes quiet and peaceful. Then you start seeing good points in that person. No doubt the person at this moment was deluded, but everybody has some good points. So slowly that forgiveness comes, that it's okay, the person got angry, but I am not going to be angry back. That does not mean you become a doormat, let everybody walk over you. If there is somebody has a problem, you try to fix it. If some difficulty is there in life, you know, you tell that person, you explain to that person. But if something cannot be done, or something happened 20 years ago, we tell, you know, this person 20 years ago, he got angry with me. My son is getting married this week. I won't invite him to my son's wedding. Array, 20 years ago, he may have said something and he has already, the idea he has forgotten, but we keep holding on to that. So they say, let it go. And then only your mind can become quiet. Only then all your mind can become calm and peaceful. Otherwise, we get so disturbed, so agitated over little things. And Patanjali says it very beautifully, Chitta Vritti Nirodha Yogaha. What is yoga? Patanjali Rishi's description of yoga is Chitta Vritti Nirodha. Nirodha means control of activities of the mind. Chitta Vritti, thoughts that are coming. See, what we do, we constantly have thoughts coming one after the other and just disturbing us. The more thoughts we have, the more agitated we become. So they say reduce consciously your frequency of thoughts, your number of thoughts, chant the name of the Lord, and quietly pay attention to the self within. Automatically, your thoughts will become less. Which we, of course, we do in meditation, but do that even otherwise. Do not unnecessarily just think of things that have passed or past, you know, resentments or angers. And when your mind becomes quiet, then in that quiet mind, you can feel God's presence. As long as my mind is disturbed, we cannot feel the divinity. So such a person remains unaffected, undisturbed, even no matter how many problems come. Because ultimately, all problems result in disturbance of the mind. But if my mind is not disturbed, that's why these Mahatmas, some of them had so many problems. You know, we have talked about, you know, Mirabai, Tukaram, Sant Gyaneshwar, Jesus Christ. All of them had so many problems, but they did not let the problems disturb them. Their mind always is peaceful. And they say, how are they able to do that? Nirdosham hi samam brahma. Brahman, the Om, the Atman, the consciousness has no dosha, has no defects, and is sama. Is it? It's the same. It is equanimous. What do we mean by dosha? What do we mean by defect? So they say, like I'm wearing this white kurta pajama, and on that, if there is a ink mark, a black or a blue ink mark comes, that becomes a defect. Then you immediately everybody can see it, and then I want to wash it off. So otherwise, if it is all white, then it looks clean and pure. Similarly, Brahman is always pure. Brahman cannot have any defects on it. This cloth can have defects, our mind can have defects, but Brahman is always the same, always quiet, always calm, always peaceful, and has no dosha, has no defects. That's why they say Bhagwan has no defects. You and I will have good and bad qualities, but Bhagwan is eternal, he's constant, avyayam. That's why it is said he's avyayam, immutable, unchanging, and has no defects. And we chant Guru Stotram, you know, on when we do Guru Paduka Puja. And the first mantra is Akhanda Mandalakaram व्याप्तं येन चराचरं तत्पदं दर्शितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः. I bow down to this guru, to prostrate to this guru who has shown me what? Akhanda Mandalakaram. He has introduced me to that Brahman, which is akhanda, unbroken, unbroken mass of consciousness, unbroken, undisturbed, constant, that state of awareness. Who has revealed to me? The guru has, because only through guru I can know Brahman. Otherwise, Brahman, the consciousness, is hidden from us, but a guru who has himself or herself realized this truth can reveal this truth to me, and to that guru I prostrate. And then the last question in this shloka is, does God have go form or formless? People say, you know, one person went to Raman Maharishi ji and he said, tell me, is God have form or is he formless? So Raman Maharishi had a unique way of answering. He said, do you have form or formless? He says, I have a form. I am, you know, these five elements, this head, neck. He said, then God also has form. If you have form, then God has form. Your form is tiny. God's form is the whole universe. Everything is his form. So the Ashtamurti Vrit, eight aspects. So what are the eight aspects of God's form? Space, air, fire, water, earth, mind, intellect, and ego. That is the not Bhagwan has ego, but in this world, everything that you see that has a form has five, eight aspects. You and I also have that. Space, air, fire, water, earth, mind, intellect, and ego. Ashtamurti Vrit. And only thing is, we have a small form. Bhagwan's whole universe is Bhagwan's form, trillions of miles. I have limited intelligence. Bhagwan is all-knowing. But that is if I have a form. If I am formless, if I say I don't have a form, I am Brahman, Om, formless, then there can be only one formless. Because when a person is formless, then it keeps going, 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 occupies the whole universe and even beyond. To the moment a formless has a barrier or a boundary, it becomes form. The moment you say formless goes up to here, right, then immediately that is a form. So formless means that which keeps going. So there is only one formless. So if I am formless, God is also formless. So beautifully, the nature of Brahman is explained in this shloka. And people who know this truth, their mind is always established in Brahman. Tasmat Brahmani te sthitaha. They always keep their mind in that Brahman. So that is number 19. Now, how does this person function in the world? Again, how does he or she work? So shloka number 20. Na prahrishyet priyam prapya. No dvijet prapya cha priyam.
No dvijet prapya cha priyam.
Sthira buddhira
Sthira buddhira
sammudaha. Brahmavit brahmani sthitaha.
sammudaha.
Yeah, so again, all together, chapter 5, number 20. Na prahrishyet priyam prapya, no dvijet prapya cha priyam, sthira buddhira sammudaha, brahmavit brahmani sthitaha. So how does this wise person function in the world? Na prahrishyet priyam prapya. Priyam prapya means when something pleasant happens to him. Na prahrishyet. Rishyet means gets joy, joyful. Prahrishyet means gets overjoyed. He doesn't prakarshena rishyet, overjoyed. He does not get overjoyed when something good happens. Na udvijet prapya cha apriyam. And apriyam, and when he gets something unpleasant, he does not get agitated, does not get disturbed. So neither he gets overjoyed when things are going well, nor he gets angry or disturbed when things are not going well. Why? Sthira buddhi, his intellect is sthira, is stable, stationed. Asammudaha. Sammudaha means deluded person. Mudha is deluded. Sammudaha is extremely deluded. Asammudaha means not deluded, who has the correct, right understanding and his intellect is thira. And what happens to such people, such a person? Brahma with Brahmani sthitaha. Knower of Brahman gets established in Brahman. That's why Upanishad says, Brahma with Brahmaiva Bhavati. Knower of Brahman becomes one with Brahman, becomes Brahman. You can never know Brahman as somebody else, something else. Once you know Brahman, you know Brahman is everywhere. Brahman is everything, and that is me. So Brahma with Brahmani sthitaha is always established in Brahman. So how does this person deal with situations? In 18th, we had seen how he deals with people. Now with situations. So what our condition is, something is going well, we get overjoyed. Are, wonderful, I am the greatest. I have done so much. I am so good. And people praise me and I get more blown up. And then especially watching sports. If my team is winning, people are so happy. They say, we are winning. Are, you are winning. You are sitting on the on your couch watching TV. What do you mean? We are playing very well. Some people are playing, you know, 1,000 miles away in Buffalo or in New York City. You are sitting here, but you say, I am winning. We are winning. So we get overjoyed. And then if the team loses, we get over-depressed. Are, you know, why did that quarterback throw the interception? After it is called Monday morning quarterback, you know, then everybody is smart. Oh, they shouldn't have run the ball. They should have. And we get so depressed. And not only that, some people get so angry, you know, and they, after their team has lost and they have watched it in some bar football game, they drink and then they come home and whom do they take it out? On the wife. That's why they say maximum incident of domestic violence occurs on Sunday evening. Because people's team has lost football and they take it out on the wife or take it out on the children. So they say, do not get, not that you should not enjoy sports or enjoy things, but, you know, watch it. Okay, my team win, that's good. My team lost, it didn't play that well. So be a sakshi, be a witness. Do not get too affected, or we get so affected by, why is this happening in Washington? Why is this happening in the Middle East? You are not the governor of the US, or you are not governor of Middle East. Whatever is happening, just watch it. You know, you cannot, but we get so disturbed mentally. Yesterday evening, somebody called me and he was so upset about, wow, why is so he doing this? What? I said, look, you are not the governor of the state, or you are not the governor of US. So whatever you can do, you do. You can vote for the right person whom you believe. But to get myself so worked up over things that I have no control over, and think of it as karma. You know, whoever has, like, this person is elected because this country elected him. Or if this some violence is happening in somewhere, it is all law of karma. So realize that life is like a coin. Like a coin has heads and tails. You know, sometimes you will get heads, sometimes you will get tails. So same way, life will have joys and sorrows both. So Swami Vivekananda said that if you think always there will be joy, it's like saying always I will get heads, you know, or it's like saying always there will be day, there will never be night. So that understanding one should have. And does not mean you become a stone, as we said. When things are going well, you get happy. If things are not, especially for myself, I should be firm that, okay, my problems in my life are because of karma and they are meant for me to grow. Somebody else is suffering, then you don't start giving him a Vedanta lecture, you know, oh, this world is temporary, suffering comes and goes. The poor guy is sorrowful or his mother died, and you cannot say, oh, nobody dies, every. Yeah, if the person has studied Vedanta, then the person won't even need that. So there you express your sympathy. Do not start becoming giving talks to that person unless the person comes to you for advice. Otherwise, offer sympathy, give that person a hug, or you know, whatever you can do. And why does Bhagwan repeat this message? Because he has said it in the second chapter. Because with repeated understanding, repeated listening, our mind becomes firmly established in this knowledge. And repetition is necessary. That's why I always suggest that whatever we have discussed, it is all there in Gurudev's commentary. If you don't have it, you should please get it, because this Chinmaya Mission commentary has this, and you can read it yourself. So that way this knowledge becomes pakka, becomes firm, or you can listen to this talk again on the website, First Power. So repetition makes this knowledge firm. And what does this knowledge do? So they said this knowledge is like a shock absorber, like your car. You know, they have shock absorbers where even if the car is going over rocks or stones or, you know, bumps in the road, your body doesn't get shaken that much, because the shock absorber absorbs the shock of the road. Similarly, this knowledge is a shock absorber where when problems come, if you remember this knowledge, then the problems do not bother you that much. And then we are not brooding over, you know, otherwise we say, oh, you know, my stocks were doing so well, and now stock market is down, and then I become depressed. So every morning I check, if stock is up, I'm happy. If stock is down, I'm miserable. And he says, kabhi upar jayega, kabhi niche aayega. Sometimes it will be up, sometimes it will be down, but watch it. Yes, obviously you have to invest wisely and save your money and all, but do not get so attached to the money that if I have lost a little or gained a little, again, whatever I am destined to get, Bhagwan will give it to me. Whatever I am supposed to get, so that's what we have to have, that faith in God, that I will get what I deserve, what I'm supposed to get, what I deserve, and have complete faith in God and complete faith in that understanding that God is the one who is the giver of karma phala, and he will always give me. Again, karma phala, he does not decide. I get, we have studied in a previous shloka, Bhagwan says, I do not even give you the results of your karma. It is your own karmas that create the result. So whatever karmas I have done, I will get the result. My job should be in this life to do maximum good karmas, help as many people as I can, do as much charity as I can, be kind and compassionate to people. And such a person then does not get disturbed internally. But externally, if the situation requires, then we may have to. So Gurudev is a beautiful example. He was very kind, loving, compassionate, always helpful to others, whatever questions people had. But if he saw something not good happening, he would point it out and he would make sure that he fixed it. I remember one time I was at one of the centers, and in that center, Gurudev had asked them to buy a building and start, you know, the Chinmaya Mission activities. And 1 or 2 years, they kept making excuses. Oh, we don't have money. We don't have land. We don't have this, this, that. After 2, 3 years, Gurudev then one day sat down, and in a public meeting, he called the board of directors and had them sitting there of that organization, Chinmayam. And he said, look, I have been telling you, this city needs a mission. It wasn't Bakersfield, by the way. We did not, but this was in another center. I was there, and he said, I have been telling you for the last 2-3 years, this place needs a mission center. It's a big city, and it is growing, and mission will do very well here. I'm telling you. And I have been telling, and the board of directors have been sitting here doing nothing. Very strong words he used. And he said, I'll come back here in a few months. And if the building is not bought, not there, I'll fire all of the board of directors. He said, every one of you will be thrown out, and I'll get new people. If you cannot do it. And that his language and his tone was, you know, was firm. It was strong. And it was like the whole hall was shaking because he had a very powerful voice. And I still clearly remember his words and his tone. And the board of directors were so scared. In 6 months, they had bought a building. They had, and that mission grew to where they have now 10 or 12 branches. That much it has grown. So that's what these Mahatmas, they know. And so the point is that these Mahatmas are very loving, compassionate. Most of them are calm and quiet. But then those who want to accomplish a lot, and the one that was Gurudev, his goal was that if something has to be done, it has to be done. And then immediately after talking like that, he immediately becomes calm and quiet, and he starts laughing and talking to a child. So what it means is whatever is needed, the words he will use, but inside he is always established in the truth. It is like a mother, you know, a mother is scolding a child for doing something wrong. She does it out of love because she loves the child. Internally, she loves. Outwardly, she may get angry, may even punish the child or scold the child, but her love for the child does not go away. So that's how, you know, wise person talking about mother, you know, Isaac Newton, you know, when he discovered gravity and the apple fell on his head, you know what his mother told him? I hope you washed the apple before you ate it. And then Alexander Graham Bell, he discovered telephone. So he put the telephone in the house. So his mother told him, what is this? You brought this machine here? I don't want any girls calling you at all odd hours. And then Michelangelo, he was painting, you know, that big the Last Supper on the ceiling. And he was halfway done and he comes home. And his mother said, what's wrong with you? Why can't you paint on the wall or on the canvas like a normal painter? What is this you are painting on the ceiling? You know how hard it is for me to wash off all the paint from your clothes? So mother will always be a mother. No matter the child is grown up, he may be a Nobel laureate. So that is the glory of the mother. So that's what they say. Brahma with Brahmani sthitaha. So the knower of Brahman becomes one with Brahman because he knows that Brahman is everywhere, everything, and I am also Brahman. I am not separate. Not I am God, but I am Brahman. There is a difference between the two. I am God means God is all powerful. I am limited. But when we say I am Brahman means everything is Brahman. Brahman alone is everything. And you can even say about God, God alone is everything, but they see their identity, and that is the glory of this knowledge, that this person does not get disturbed, whether life may throw good things or bad things. It's like sometime you go to bat, you have a century, and next time you go to bat, you have a duck, you know, or you have a home run, and then second time you have a strikeout, but a wise person neither gets overjoyed nor gets over depressed, over agitated. So then we say, but tell me clearly, what is the benefit of this knowledge? Isme fayda kya hai? See, we are all profit motive. You know, if I get some profit, only then I will come for this knowledge. You keep telling me, Bhagwan, but tell me clearly, what is the profit? I want to know. I'm spending 1 hour. Am I getting anything out of this talk or not? So Bhagwan in 21, Very, very powerful shloka. We'll spend some time talking about what is the benefit of this knowledge. Bahya sparsheshva saktatma.
Bahya sparsheshva
Pindatyatmani yat sukham.
Pindatyatmani yat sukham.
Sabrahma yoga yuktatma. Sukham akshayam ashnute. Bahya sparsheshva saktatma. Vindatyatmani yat sukham. Sabrahma yoga yuktatma. Sukham akshayam ashnute. So bahya sparsheshu means contact with external objects. So contact with external objects. Asakta means detached. In Sanskrit is very interesting. Asakta means detached. Asakta means attached. So here Bhagwan is saying one who is detached from the sense objects. Atma means not Atma the consciousness, Atma the individuality. So a person who is detached from the world of objects, Vindati Atmani Yat Sukham, he experiences joy within his mind. Here Atmani means within his mind. So Atma can be used in many ways. One place it is as an individual, second section, he or she experiences the joy within, in his own mind, Yat Sukham. What joy? Saha, saha, that Brahma Yoga Yuktatma. Now that individual Atma, Brahma Yoga, whose mind is connected with Bhagwan, with not only in meditation, but at all times. Yukta means connected. Sukham Akshayam Ashnute. He or she experiences unbroken joy, the greatest joy. So Brahma Yoga, we saw connection with Brahman, with God. And all worldly joys, contact with objects, parsha, are temporary. All worldly joys. Anything you have, a new car will become old. A new house will become old. A new spouse will become old. You know, your little baby boy who was so sweet will become a teenager. So nothing remains the same. You know, good, whatever at one time gives you joy, will give you sorrow. And you ask somebody, you want temporary joy or permanent? First you ask him, you want joy or sorrow? I want joy. He says, you want temporary joy or permanent joy? For 1 year you will have joy, but then 10 years you will have suffering. No, 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 no. I want permanent joy. I don't want 1 year joy and then suffering, or 1 year joy, 1 year suffering. So, if you want permanent joy, who wants temporary joy? Nobody wants temporary joy. Okay, today I should be happy, tomorrow. If you want permanent joy, look it in permanent things. Temporary things will give you temporary joy. Anything that is of this world, whatever you see, hear, smell, taste, touch, you eat a pizza, that will give you temporary joy. But then you overeat, then you will have suffering. Food, anything that which will give you joy, eventually it will go away. Something you have, and then, you know, when it leaves you, oh, when we got before marriage, you know, he was so attentive, and when we were dating, he was always calling me and, you know, saying I love you, and abhi shaadi ke 5 years baad. So nothing in this world is permanent. Anything that you contact in this world will be temporary. And Atmani Yat Sukham, and in Atma, in consciousness, the joy you experience is permanent. And everything is in Atma. Everything is in that consciousness or in Brahman, because Atma is this Om within and Brahman is outside, but that is only one. There are not two, not my God, Brahman within and Brahman outside. They are all one. And in that Brahman, this body has appeared, you know, in this whole consciousness, my body has appeared. And when the body, when it perishes, then it becomes one with that totality, just as in space. Now there is space, right? Total space. And in that space, we build this building. There is total space, then there is room space. And then here we bring a pot, so there is pot space. So we think, oh, pot space is room, not room space. Room space is not total space. We distinguish it. But if you break the pot, it becomes one with the room space. And you remove the walls, it becomes one with total space. Actually, you don't have to break the pot. The pot has to understand that the space in me is the same as total space. So same way, you and I do not have to give up this body or perish. We have to understand that I am eternal. You know, this body is temporary, just as the pot covering is temporary, but the space is permanent. Same way, this body is temporary, but I, the Atma, the soul, the consciousness, I am permanent. And what that will do is give you independence, independence from the world. Because anytime you are dependent, you will have sorrow. Tulsidas ji says it very beautifully. He says, Paradhine sapnehi sukham nahi. Once you are dependent on something or somebody, you will not have joy. Like when India was not free, dependent on British, ruled by British, there was no joy. You know why? Because some foreign power from somewhere is ruling us. And even though Indians were so many hundreds of millions, a few hundred Britishers came and ruled us. That was because of our ignorance. So as long as you are dependent on something or you are controlled by something, you will not have joy. But we only have joy when we become independent. But we find that we are so controlled by circumstances. Example is TV. You know, you say, okay, I'm going to watch this one program, and you turn it on, and then one program, two program, 3 hours are gone, and you are just watching one after the other. We think we have the TV remote. TV says, no, I have your remote. I decide what you're going to watch, how long, or the phone. You know, I say, oh, I'm just going to check my email. And by the time we are done surfing, 2, 3 hours are gone. So we don't control the phone. The phone controls us. So why do we get dependent on things? Because we think there is bhoga, there is joy in that. And because of that feeling of joy, we get bondage, we get bound, we get caught that without this thing, I cannot do anything. So we wake up in the morning, first thing, even before remembering God, we say, where is my phone? And we pick it up and start checking the emails. You know, last night, who would have sent? But we are so addicted to the phone or to anything, you know, it could be anything. We get so bound that is caught. But what is this Brahma Yoga Yuktatma? What is the joy he experiences? This joy of Brahman. Brahma Yoga means one whose mind is connected with Brahman. So in Taittiriya Upanishad, there is a very, very beautiful mantras. What is the joy of contact with Brahman? So Brahmananda, it is called Brahmananda. What is the joy of Brahmananda? So it says that how do we measure the joy of becoming one with Brahman? So they say, suppose there is a young man or a woman, 25 years old. 25 years old is when we are at peak, right? After that, it is downhill. Niche ja raha, you know, you're not going up anyway, and forget about 30, 40, 50. Anyway, so this individual is 25 years old, in perfect health, no health issues, okay? Has all the wealth he can want, all the wealth, okay? He has the highest knowledge, and his mind is under his control. So imagine 25-year-old, perfect health, all the money they want. Mind always under control, has the highest knowledge, all those things. How rare is that, right? We don't have any of all of that, even at this age. but 25. So this person has all that. That is one unit of joy. You can count that as one unit of joy. 25-year-old with all those things. Okay, then what is higher joy than that? So he says higher joy than that is Gandharva Loka. You know, the world of musicians, they have joy 100 times what this individual has. So if we are living in Gandharva Loka, the joy is 100 times. So you multiply that by 100. Then above that is Pitru Loka, where our ancestors went, are living, those who have done good karmas. So there is 100 times of Gandharva Loka. That means 10,000 times of this guy. 100 times 100 is 10,000 times the joy of this one person, that is Pitru Loka. Then above that is heaven, Swarga. That is 100 times. So 100 times of 10,000 is 1 million. So in Swarga, they have 1 million times the joy of this one individual who has all the things on this earth. Okay. Then above is Indra. Indra is 100 times the joy of the ordinary devas in heaven. So kitna hua? 1 million times 100? 100 million. Okay, then 100 million, then above that 100 times is the joy of Brihaspati, who is the guru of devas. So 100 times 100 million is what? 1 billion. And then Brihaspati, 100 times than that is the joy of the creator, Prajapati. That is 100 billion. So we lose count. So this person on this earth has this joy, and 100 times is the Gandharva Loka, 100 times is Pitru Loka, Swarga, Indra, Brihaspati, Prajapati. So that much, billions of times of joy you enjoy there. But they say one who has experienced Brahman here itself, his joy is even beyond, much beyond all of those. He even has more joy than Prajapati, Brihaspati. So that is the fayda of this knowledge, that once you develop this complete identification, which all these Mahatmas do, you know, Gurudev and Shankaracharya ji and Mirabai and all these other great Mahatmas, they live in that joy, and that joy of identification with, that's called Brahmananda Valli. You know what is the, in Taittiriya Upanishad, this I'm not making it up, this is there in Taittiriya Upanishad. You're welcome to just Google Brahmananda Valli and you will see that these numbers are given there. So point is that whatever joy you can experience in this world with the contact with objects, but one who has become one with Brahman, his joy is billions of times more, unmeasurable, immeasurable. So that is the benefit of this knowledge. That is the fayda. That is why we should pursue this knowledge, because ultimately that alone is real, that alone is permanent. Anything in this world will come and go. Jo aaya hai, wo jayega. Even this body will come and go, even physical enjoyments, mental enjoyments, intellectual enjoyments, they all come and go. But if I become one with Atma, then I realize I am eternal, I am that consciousness. So God realization or self-realization or self-realized master experiences that joy, which is billions of times more than any joy of this earth. So that is what the Upanishad is saying, that, you know. So these masters who have written the Upanishad, who have not written, but to whom the Upanishad was revealed, have given us this benchmark to tell us how great is this knowledge. And the beauty of their teaching is that only in human birth you can get enlightened. Only in human birth. Even the devtas in heaven or Gandharvas, or all of them want to be born as human, because human birth, it is available. Yes, only other option, other choice is Brahma Loka. where the highest, where, but that person to reach Brahma Loka has to have done so much good karmas and punyas and knowledge and all. A person who reaches Brahma Loka, that person doesn't come back and Brahmaji teaches. But aside from that, the only way to get this good joy is to enlighten once myself, know the truth, become one with that truth. And that is the purpose of human birth. That is the only purpose of human birth. They say if you leave this body and die without realizing the truth, your life has been a waste. So whatever time we have in this body, in this life, just think this is my goal, this is my purpose. And yeah, if I have achieved a good amount and suppose I have progressed a lot, and if I do not get the final, then Bhagwan assures us that if you have progressed significantly on this path, and if you have not reached the final, I'll put you in the house of yogis, he says in the sixth chapter. I'll put you in the house of yogis where you can continue your journey. But the point is, let us not waste this beautiful human birth, this human body, and this knowledge that Puja Gurudev and all the other Shankaracharyaji and all the Mahatmas, and of course Bhagwan Sri Krishna himself has revealed this knowledge. So the last question somebody asks, okay, I understood there is, you know, Brahman joy, Brahma yoga, I understood. But we are not there, Bhagwan Sri Krishna, we are not there. And at least we get some little joys on this world, right? Don't we get some joy? If you eat a pizza, you get some joy, ice cream. You watch a movie, you buy a new car, you buy some jewelry, or you get a position. Don't we get some temporary joys, anitya? Bhagwan says, yes. He says, Bhagwan, then why don't you let us enjoy that at least? Abhi to usme bhi maja nikal gaya. At least let us enjoy this temporary joy at least. Kuch to fayda ho. Bhagwan says, the temporary joy, I will tell you next week. Next shloka, the whole shloka Bhagwan devotes to anitya sukha, the temporary joy. So we'll cover that next week. About next two or three shlokas talk about this temporary joy and how to get this permanent. So this teaching will continue. So we'll end here. We have some time. If anybody has any questions, comments, please feel free to do that, either on Zoom or here in this, in the hall here. You have any comments? Any? You want to summarize a little bit? We'll just summarize quickly and then let people talk. I don't know. What's this here? Yes, yeah, make it short.
Hari Om, this is Krishna. Thank you, Anilji. Wonderful. Chapter 5, 19, 20, and 21. So, the first one is the people who see everybody with the same vision and who see the self.
Go ahead.
The same self in everyone can attain liberation from birth and death while living in this world. And the mind rests in Brahman. That is number 19. Number 20. So a wise person or a person who is not depressed or down when with unpleasant things going on and gets overjoyed with pleasantness is study. And experiences Brahman. And the 21st is the person who is detached from the external pleasures, but goes inward and experiences the happiness inside, experiences the inexhaustible bliss of knowing and being with the Brahman. So that is the 21st.
Thank you.
So when you said that, you know, in this whole life itself, when we experience the liberation or when we get liberated, that is bigger than anything else, the joy. So you think Raman Maharshi is one of the examples
yes,
of that?
Exactly. Raman Maharishi ji lived in that.
Lived
yes,
in that.
Absolutely.
And because it's not your 25, he lived right in when his childhood itself.
Right.
He
right.
started living in that.
Exactly. Yes.
Then on a lighter note, I was thinking in this week about what Anilji was saying last week. You know, the wise perceive a buffalo better because a buffalo with ignorance doesn't know whether somebody puts a garland of chapal or garland of flowers, it remains the same. So I was just thinking, you know, my life would be wasted. Like, you know, even at least I cannot be a buffalo sometimes if I'm ignorant. And this is one perks of, you know, coming here and gaining knowledge where I don't have to be buffalo, but I can be a human being and attain that level of knowledge where no matter what happens in the world, I'm detached and just go inward every time and experience that happiness and inexhaustible bliss of what we talked about in the 21, being with the Brahman.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Shankaracharya ji actually says in Vivek Churamani that a wise person is like a buffalo because he is unaffected by whether you praise him or you criticize him. He actually says that. So he compares a wise person to a buffalo, not in intellectual knowledge, but their ability to tolerate the worldly situations. Kerry, you have a comment or a question?
Oh, it's just a little bit of a question. When you were talking about Brahman being spotless and impartial, I was thinking, and I'm not sure whether this is a term that applies to God as Ishvara or Brahman also, is Pravaha Nityatvam.
What is it?
Pravaha Nityatvam, like always flowing, always moving, like going from manifest to unmanifest. Does that apply to Brahman?
No, that does not apply to Brahman. It applies to Ishvara.
Okay,
Ishvara is the creator. Nityatvam means Ishvara is also eternal. It is Brahman takes on the role of Ishvara when Brahman creates the world. To create the world, Brahman cannot create. Brahman is beyond this world. In fact, at the level of Brahman, there is no world. World does not exist. But Brahman takes on the role of Ishvara to create, sustain, and destroy, to modify this universe. So Ishvara is Brahman functioning through Maya. Functioning through Maya. And I just wanted to clarify, last week you asked a question about reflection. I just wanted to clarify, yes, the consciousness is reflected in the mind and intellect. The mind and intellect is subtle. So mind and intellect has the ability to reflect consciousness. That is called Chidabhas. Abhasa means reflection. So consciousness, the mind and intellect can reflect. The body cannot reflect. The body is gross. Just as the sunlight, when there is a bucket of water, the water can reflect the sunlight, has the ability to reflect, but the bucket doesn't. If the water is gone, the bucket will not reflect. So same way in us, the body cannot reflect, but the mind and intellect can reflect the consciousness because of which I am alive. So the reflection of consciousness is of the consciousness in the mind and intellect.
So when you're in a, say, meditation, and you're in like Nididhyasana,
right,
is what you're meditating on and what you're viewing, is that the reflection of consciousness in your mind when you're looking inwardly? Inward?
It is the mind and intellect which is enlivened by consciousness. Mind and intellect is enlivened by consciousness, and that mind and intellect is alive and able to focus on the self. Yes, so the moment the consciousness is not reflecting, then I'll be dead. Then I won't be able to function. So it is not the Chidabhas. It is the mind and intellect which meditates and ultimately realizes that I am Brahman. My true nature is Brahman. So that, and goes beyond all the attachments, beyond bondages, beyond vasanas.
Okay, thank you. I started thinking about that, when you meditate, when you go back and you look inside, what is that that you're seeing? Because you obviously can't see an object.
No. But you are experiencing this.
Yeah, you know what I mean.
But that is at the higher level. Initially, when your mind becomes quiet and you experience joy, that is the Anandamaya Kosha. Generally, that's where we go in the Anandamaya Kosha, where we go beyond the mind and intellect to the level of ignorance or vasanas. At that level, you can experience that joy, but the experiencer experienced is still there. Enlightenment is where there is no duality. There is no duality. That one alone experienced, that consciousness alone is. Then I disappear. Then I am no longer there. That is the ultimate state of realization.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for those questions. Any other question in the hall here or on Zoom? Anybody has any doubts?
I think I still remember, correct me if I'm wrong, Anilji, when Swami Aparitananda ji came here and talked about Keno Upanishad. He was talking about this exact thing where we do need to use the mind and intellect as a tool.
Yes.
Like an aeroplane, how it starts and then it has to take off into the sky.
Right.
To think the sky is like a consciousness, to at least to go into that and experience that.
Yes.
We have to use the mind and intellect initially very strongly, but later on,
right,
after a while, we experience that.
Right. So, you use the mind and intellect to go beyond the mind and intellect.
Correct.
And that's something I cannot do myself. The mind and intellect cannot accomplish. When the mind and intellect gets tired and says, I cannot go any further, and becomes still and surrenders to Bhagwan, then Bhagwan reveals himself. In fact, today's shloka for the children is the same, that when you have self-surrender, then only you get the
faith. Faith and self-surrender.
Yeah, faith and self-surrender, right. Somehow it's interesting. Whatever we put on the board comes in the class. It's so, so interesting.
Intertwined.
Yeah, intertwined. So the children will be discussing that. So we'll end here. And next week, there will be no class because of Thanksgiving. So have a nice holiday. We'll see you in 2 weeks. Thank you. Hari Om. Om Sarve Bhavantu Sukhinaha. Sarve Santu Niramayaha. Sarve Bhadrani Pashyantu. Ma Kashchid Dukha Bhag Bhavet. Om Shasato Ma Sadgamaya Tamaso Ma Jyotirgamaya Mrityorma Amritam Gamaya Om Shanti 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 Hari Om Shri Guru Pyo Namaha Hari Om. Thank you, Hari Om. Thank you so much. Thank you for joining. My humble pranams to all of you. Thank you for joining.
Thank you.
Hari Om.
Oh, it's